Suzanne.
Podcast.
Every year on the 20th of May, we take the time to celebrate one of the most important pollinators the world has, the humble bee.
Bees are important because... I said bee in the word because.
The bees give us honey.
I wouldn't have the proper pancake without my honey.
They pollinate our flowers and vegetables.
So we can get food.
So when they go down to suck the nectar, their pollen sticks on their legs and goes to the next plant.
Flowers produce fruits, and the fruits we eat.
Without the bees, the humans would die within 3 months.
In school, you learn be kind.
Ireland is home to about 100 different varieties of bee, 21 species of bumblebee, 78 solitary bees, and of course, the native Irish honeybee. Also known as the black bee, it is uniquely suited to our changeable weather patterns, lower temperatures, and even the rain. But thankfully, the sun shone last week when the Ecolution team headed to a spot you wouldn't immediately associate with bees, a Dublin bus garage in Fitzroy.
So this is one hive from the apiary downstairs. We've got 5 frames down below, and we've got 1 frame on the top. And at the bottom is a queen excluder, which means the queen can't get to the bottom. So she's always on display up here. So we have her marked with green, which denotes she was last year's queen. She's marked on her torso. So my name is Erwin Bannon, and I'm attached to Ringsend Garage in Dublin 4. I'm originally from Tipperary, and we always had bees at home when I was growing up. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, my dad had bees. So I kind of always had an interest and somewhat of a knowledge of bees. And as the years progressed and the internet and whatnot, you know, information is much more accessible.
Okay, I'm Paul Granger, and I'm attached to Fibsborough and Jamestown garages here in Dublin Bus. I first started around about, say, 7 years ago in Offaly. Did my course, got a little bit of experience. And then here in Dublin Bus, we had some waste ground down at the back there, which you'll see later. I just thought to myself, you know, under the biodiversity umbrella, I thought this would be a good idea and a good way to utilise space that's vacant. So I put it towards the management, and they went for it. So they developed a bit of land down there. Erwin became involved, and then between us then we started off with the 2 hives, and then we built up what we have down there in the apiary now.
My earliest recollection was my mum used to call me in. I used to be sitting down by the hive counting bees going in, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I had little knowledge of bees. My dad, he was the beekeeper, and bees is not a common hobby activity in Ireland. There are probably only about 3,500 beekeepers in Ireland. Back then, it would have been much less.
There's plenty of forage. I mean, everybody's got flowers in the garden, window boxes, you know, you've got the waste areas. And then from here, you've got the botanical gardens in the stone throw. You've got the park just across there as well. So there's plenty of forage there for them. And I just think it's a great initiative. It gets everybody involved and it piques an interest, not just in bees, but in other things. You know, we grow some vegetables here as well. People don't realise that it's there on the doorstep.
Paul and Erwin were in the process of moving a hive of bees into a new enclosure, which allowed us to see them up close and learn how important a role the queen plays in any hive. If we could just find her.
There's the queen there now. See her? She's a lot more longer. If you damage her, injure her, or heavens forbid, kill her, well, then you need to get another queen, because the hive, it won't function at all without a queen. The queen lays an egg, and the egg hatches after 3 days. And then the larvae is fed a combination of nectar, pollen, and little bits of royal jelly. What makes a queen bee, as opposed to a commoner gardener, sorry girls, commoner gardener worker bee, is what she's fed. The egg is laid in a particular cell, which is dome-shaped, which in time can encompass the size of the queen. And when the egg hatches, it's fed nothing, only royal jelly. That's what determines whether it becomes a queen or not. She's going along, she's finding places to lay an egg in the cells. A good queen with ample area, she'll lay about 2,000 eggs a day. Yeah, they'll all become worker bees. And she also lays eggs which become male bees, which is naturally needed as well.
We purposely went for the native Irish black bee to aid with the numbers, the declining numbers at the time. And of course, they're more robust to this kind of weather. And it's coming from an Englishman. You want to keep the native species going, whether it's bees or any other insect or animal. This is purely, and I wouldn't even say a hobby. I'd call it a passion. You know, it's something that you either like or you don't. Some people try it, don't like it. Other people, you get a passion for it, and that's it. You just take off. And that's what happened to me. Once we got set up here, staff across the city was interested. So when it comes to that time of year when we're harvesting the honey, what we do is, when it's jarred, labelled and everything like that, we split it between all the garages, and it's a draw. So everybody gets a chance of tasting the local produce. We get people interested that wants to have a go. We've recently got a couple of guys there that have an interest. So we brought one guy down yesterday just to see how he gets on, and he seems to have an interest because we're going to be expanding to other garages, Jamestown, Donnybrook. That's going to be this year. It would be great, really, to see hives in every garage across the city. That's the goal.
We headed to the very back of the bus garage, across a yard full of electric buses being charged, down a set of metal stairs, and made sure we zipped the hoods on our bee suits up securely. A lot of people would say that they're afraid of bees.
They go into our ears sometimes, and they stung us. So for my safety, I will be kept away from bees.
My friend got stung by a bee and she was screaming and she had to go inside and like get cream, and I'm just so scared of them.
Sarah's only like bees.
I'm not afraid of bees because of all these answers, because they're pollinators and also they're food for other animals such as birds, and we can eat birds and turn them into chicken curry.
No, but I am afraid of seagulls.
I'd eat a seagull curry.
I'm also scared of them because I've never got stung before, so I don't know what it feels like.
But there really isn't any reason to be scared.
As a child, I was always afraid of bees, so I made sure I never got stung. I suppose later in adult life, I never really thought about it. But then when I came to starting the beekeeping, two things that people always ask you, like, you know, how much honey do you get and what's it like getting stung? I'm sure there's a lot of people got stung over the years and they know what it feels like. It's nothing, really. If you wear the proper protective equipment, like you've seen here as we've suited up, we've made sure everywhere's sealed. We've got protective on the face. We've got good hand protection as well. And the suit's specially designed. So you're taking that health and safety very seriously.
Bees have no interest in stinging you whatsoever because you don't have anything for them. But if they see you as a threat, they'll sting, and one sting becomes numerous stings because there'll be quite a few bees out to get you because now you're a threat. But we'll open the hive here now today and we'll manipulate it, and we'll just be gentle, gradual movements, nothing sudden, no sudden noises. And, you know, we breed docile bees here anyhow. We know the lineage of our queens going back since its inception here. Really, we've bred those bees all along. So we know how quiet they are and how strong they are. We know our bees here.
I think sometimes bees get a bad rep because they're mixed up with wasps, and our brain trust at Stepaside ETNS seem to have lots of hot takes on them.
Bees make honey and wasps don't make honey. Basically, wasps are 10 times more violent than a normal bee.
And a queen wasp makes her hive out of literal paper.
Basically, you have to look at their rear end. The wasp's rear end, they're black and shiny, while a bee's rear end is really fuzzy. Wasps have a stinger at the bottom of their tail. Bees can only sting once and then they die. Wasps can sting multiple times.
Bees, they have a purpose in life, and wasps are just stinky chicken curry.
We are all God's creatures, so to speak. Minor bees, solitary bees, wasps. Wasps are an integral part of the ecosystem. For instance, if you have a penchant for growing cabbages or whatever, and you don't have any wasps, well, your harvest will be diminished because they eat the aphids and caterpillars and whatever wasp is top of the food chain predator, and a pollinator also. There's a myriad of places around within the 5K diameter of here where there are wild, free-living bees. black bees that are not being kept, so to speak, and they're going about their happy way, you know, eking out an existence in cavities and trees and whatnot, and we're unaware of them. We know they're there, but we don't know where they are.
It was time to move thousands of bees into their new hive.
That was the hive that they were all in. So we're just going to reinstall the hive.
So we've named all the hives after the different types of buses that we've got. Where we've got AX, AV, VG, GT, SG, EV, and those two haven't been named yet.
That's a frame called pollen. See the different colours, pollen? Yellow, orange, red. That's nectar. That's honey.
We're going to transport the whole frame with the queen and the bees straight into the hive. We get her in first so that when the other bees are there, they'll pick up on a pheromone and they'll know where home is.
Whilst being surrounded by thousands of bees was a little overwhelming, there was never any fear that we were in danger. The bees' focus was on the queen and finding their way to their new home.
Is she there? I don't see her here.
Yeah, she's here.
She's there.
So there she is there. See her there? So now we have her in. She can now go to the next frame and start laying. So now we can go wholesale and just transfer over frame after frame because we know we won't damage the queen. They communicate through pheromones. The queens exude different types of pheromone for different aspects of the life within the hive. For instance, you'll see a pheromone here now. See this bee here? That bee there is up, has her bum up in the air and she's fanning a pheromone. And the pheromone is Nazanov pheromone from the Nazanov gland. And that's basically a GPS pheromone that any bee that's in the vicinity or whatever, because they've been upended, it'll tell that's this is where home is. Home is here, home is here. All these bees are synonymous with that hive, this hive. These bees are synonymous. They don't overlap at all. Just that's their home there.
One thing I didn't see on the cards was seeing a bee emerge into the world for the first time.
Here's a bee being just coming out, just coming emerging. Out, look. See him
it's
here?
Just emerging.
It's just coming out of its cell. Slowly. Here he is.
Rather.
Grey and waxy. Baby bee. And all those will emerge as baby bees. And the white you see here is larvae, which is being fed by the nurse bees, fed honey, nectar and pollen from this frame here. And their first job then, once they come out of that cell, is to clean that their own cell, polish it, for the queen to come along and lay an egg right back into it.
I reckon it could be pretty tiring being a bee. A lot rests on their wings.
A worker bee in the summer lives for 42 days, of which the last 3 weeks is foraging, out, getting forage, out, out, in, out, in, out. And a winter bee can live up to 6 months. There are numerous jobs that a worker bee does in the course of his life. Nurse duties, i.e. feeding larvae, pollen, protein, and nectar, carbohydrate, they feed the larvae. Then they cover over the cell. Other duties would be housekeeping duties, cleaning up the hive, guard duties, on guard duty and on the entrance, make sure that you don't get any of your bees from earlier on, or a wasp, or a fly, or anything. They're just out. Also, there's water duty, gathering water. And the last duty then would be foraging. They just die because their wings are so, you know, they're like feathers. They just fade away and they just die out in the field. Each bee does all of those jobs in the course of its life. Their last job is out in the field.
All of us are affected by a changing climate, but it is creatures like bees that feel it more keenly, and long before we might even notice.
You know, that last winter was somewhat trying then. The bees will only start their year according as the first flowers that come out. So, i.e. the dandelion is the main forage bounty year on year in Ireland. And the dandelion was, well, when we say, you know, the dandelion was a week late this year, but a week late is a lot to the bee, because they only have X amount of weeks. Dandelions will be out here quicker than maybe Kildare. That's the microclimate. So, you know, it could be a half a degree, but a half a degree means a lot to the bee. So, in answer to your question, yeah, it does. It plays a sizable role year on year. Like, last year was great. The first month or so of last year was great. There was loads of sun and there was lots of rain. But the second part of the year, from, say, maybe June or that, yeah, it was great. Lots of sun for us, but there was no rain. Minimal amounts of rain. Flowers just didn't exude their nectar without rain. So the bees, the harvest wasn't as strong. Plus, the bees didn't have a bounty that they could rely on.
Forage is extremely important to bees as it's where they go to gather nectar and pollen. So what can we do to help?
I'm just thinking we have to save bees, and we can do like a special area where bees can roam free and have food.
I have been setting out a small water tank for the bees, and the wasps drink a bit, but I hope they don't drown to death.
Maybe build a bug hotel.
In our school, we put like a bee hotel just right at the back of the school.
Bees left to their own devices will, if the forage is there and the weather is amenable, they'll just keep harvesting honey. They might harvest 300 pounds worth of honey. They'll never use. Strong Hive would never use 300 honey. So we only take and leave ample for the bees. My favourite outstanding aspect of working in Dublin Bus is their bees. Our bees.
Thanks to Erwin and Paul for showing us their bees and also sharing some of that sought-after Dublin Bus honey. Hey, producer Nikki, where's my jar? Thanks also to Blake and the people at Dublin Bus for letting us see a side of the organisation few of us know about. It may be one small step for two employees to volunteer to keep bees at a garage, but the support it requires offers a gentle path other businesses could follow. Finding spaces for nature where you work and letting the world know initiatives like these can happen anywhere.
Well, like, you know, people would say to me, you know, I love nature. You know, isn't nature fantastic? But like, the fact of the matter is, we are nature. We are an integral part of nature, but we are the aphex predator per se. We're top of the food chain. The decisions that we make a difference for us. But in the interim period, other species have to sing to our tune, and they may not be strong enough to withstand the decisions that we make or the policies that we make going forward, you know. Over decades, like, bees have been around for 200 million years. We've only been around for 200,000 years. They know what they're at, and they don't need to change what they're doing. But they're being hampered by certain sprays that are being used across Europe that are detrimental to the life cycle of bees and all pollinators, and birds as well, you know, birds and migratory paths of birds and whatnot. So yeah, it's a complex scenario that we find ourselves in, but we're making inroads. Years ago, you know, the councils were hot to trot to cut all the verges and have everything cut, every blade of grass was cut to within an inch of its life, and now it's been left to flourish. And down around, you know, the customs house, they have a particular area, and outside Trinity, you know, it's left grow wild and whatever. And wild it may be, but it's catering for pollinators and flowers and birds and whatnot. And yeah, so we've a long way to go, but we're on the right track.
Ecolution was produced by Nikki Coughlin with production assistance from Austin Kenny and Aoife O'Neill. And it was presented by me, Evie Kenny. Oh, and I almost forgot. Thanks to the bees.